biggest stories, the best names, and all the big breaking news. The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Happy Stanley Cup Final Game Day, Calgary. Lightning at home to the Avalanche for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. The Avs leading that series 2-1. And of course, we had all kinds of questions about Tampa Bay after 2 games, and they responded with a huge Game 3 victory, 6-2 over the Colorado Avalanche, and now we wonder what Game 4 looks like. And I would suggest that looking at this game certainly feels like a must-win for Tampa. They would love to be back 2-2 going to Denver for Friday's game number 5. My name is Will Nault. He is Logan Gordon. Avalanche starting goaltender not confirmed, but Darcy Kemper in the starting goal for morning skate today. So all signs and indications lead you to believe that he is the likely starting goaltender tonight for the Avalanche. While Nazem Kadri, potentially an option for the Avalanche, he was a participant in morning skate today. And on the other side, John Cooper saying that, you know what, our lineup looking to be the exact same as game number 3, which means Nick Paul and Nikita Kucherov will play. Braden Point, Logan, will not play in game 4 for Tampa.
Good that Kucherov and Paul are okay, because I think we had some serious questions about both of them. Don't know who's really at 100% at this time of the year, but important that they can get in, because I think it's clear now that Braden Point suffered some sort of a setback.
Yeah.
And because you just know that kind of guy is going to be out there if he can be. And I know that they're holding out hope that should this series continue to get into the, you know, 5-7 range, that perhaps they can get him back. It would be, I think, a big boost for the Avs to get Kadri back and potentially have no Point on the other side for Tampa Bay. So we'll see. I think if you're a Tampa fan, you're probably pretty happy that Paul and Kucherov are good to go for tonight, but still worrisome with Point not able to go.
Yeah, so it looks like, again, if you're just joining us, John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, saying today, and coaches don't love to give up lineup news and notes, but did say today that his lineup looks to be the exact same as Game 3, which means Nick Paul and Kucherov will play. Braden Point will not for Tampa. No official word on the other side, but it appears Darcy Kemper will start in goal. Don't think we're surprised by that. And Nazem Kadri remains an option. He was out at morning skate as a regular participant today for the Avalanche. So if he doesn't play tonight, I would be surprised if we didn't see him Game 5 on Friday. That certainly seems to be the way Nazem Kadri is trending. The NHL awards were last night as well, Logan, and the Calgary Flames, of course, had 2 players up for awards. Johnny Gaudreau finished 4th in Hart Trophy voting. He wasn't necessarily a finalist, but he knew he was going to get some votes, and he finished 4th in Hart Trophy balloting. He got 3 first-place votes. Of course, Austin Matthews was the runaway winner for the Hart Trophy, receiving 119 first-place votes. He's the first Leafs player to win it since the 60s, so that's a massive accomplishment for Austin Matthews. And Jacob Markstrom finished 2nd in Vezina Trophy voting, but this one was not close because Igor Shesterkin received 29 of 32 first-place votes. So tells you right there, Markstrom, by the way, 0 first-place votes in the Vezina Trophy voting. He received 14 second-place votes and 11 third-place votes. He finished 2nd in voting, 21 points ahead of UC Saros and 101 points back of Igor Shesterkin. So that is massive. And a huge shout-out as we begin our hit and our daily hit with Peter Labardius, Flames analyst and NHL analyst, joining us every single day to begin this program for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference, now offering air miles, reward miles. Check them out online at GeminiGroup.ca. And, of course, a Calgarian was up for the James Norris Memorial Trophy. And, well, let's just listen in to how that played out, courtesy Chris Snow and his family.
The winner on the Norris Trophy is
Cale Makar.
First off, I'd like to congratulate, obviously, Yossi and Hedman on incredible seasons.
You guys pushed me very hard along the way, and it was amazing competition, and it's amazing competing against you every single night. Secondly, I'd like to thank the Kroenkes who are here tonight for giving us the tools to be a successful team, and then onward to that to Joe and C-Mac for obviously providing us with the boys, and then obviously my amazing parents who are here tonight, and getting a little emotional over there, but no, obviously them and my friends for carrying me through the entire season. But going on from there, obviously the boys, we got some important things to do tomorrow. But overall, it's this one goes to them for sure. Thanks, guys.
Cale Makar wins the Norris Trophy, and you know, again thanking his other finalists, Victor Hedman and Roman Josi. And a pretty cool moment there for the Snow family as Chris introduces the winner of the Norris, and Cohen brings it home with announcing Cale Makar. Lou joins us right now. First of all, Lou, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent, thank you kindly.
Second of all, your reaction. I don't think we were overly surprised that Cale Makar was the Norris winner, but he's the Norris winner, and we talked about it when it was announced they were going to be down there in Tampa to present an award, but that was a pretty cool moment to see the Snow family up there.
An incredible moment, an incredible ovation from everyone that was on hand, and there should be. I didn't tweet this out the other day, but I probably should have. Who should have really been winning the awards last night? Not the presenters, but that family. But it was an awesome touch. And I just loved how the whole hockey community and the entire, you know, planet that knows about this story and all the different leagues and teams, how they've rallied. And I'm, you know, there's people every single day hoping that Chris has another. And they've just flat out taught all of us in many ways, if we've bothered to pay attention, how important that really is. So it was just fabulous to watch.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it was a good reminder of, you know, what's important. And, you know, Chris has had some incredible moments that we've gotten to sort of follow along. I remember him and his family going to Fenway and him throwing out the first pitch there. It's emotional to watch, and it's incredible to watch, Lou. And it's, you know, always, like I said, to me, it's a good reminder of what's important, and, you know, that sometimes sport is a great avenue to these sort of stories. And it just continues to be inspiring to see what him and his family are able to continue to do on a, you know, daily basis.
You know, as a parent, and when I'm not feeling incredibly sorry and sad for the family and the children, the other part I think about, and not everybody, you know, grows up in a unique situation with their parents, and this one, you know, thanks to unforeseen, well, not in his case, with the family history of it, unforeseen, but, you know, I think about the kids, and you know, it's going to be incredibly difficult, I would think, and you never know, you know, with medicine, and he's outlived what they've told him already by 2 years. But what an incredible example by two parents. Just, you know, a lot of days in my situation, I just sit back and go, you know, if you're not teaching your kids the right way, I mean, they're just incredible people and incredible parents. And that's how we make the whole world better, by leading the way that way.
100%.
Yeah.
And if your hair didn't stand up when that ovation was taking place, then you might not be human, because it was fantastic and pretty awesome. Sorry, Logan, if you had something to add.
No, it was just, and I, you know, to Kelsey Snow, and, you know, to be as vulnerable as she has been with her writing through all of this, to share all of it too, I think it's something that a lot of people would choose to handle privately, right? And to deal with on their own circumstances. And instead, they've chosen to, you know, be a voice for this, and a positive in what a lot of people would look at as a negative. And I think they've lived it as really and as, you know, as it just feels real. You know, every part of it is real. There's nothing hidden from what they're doing, and that's just incredibly admirable to take on the daily challenges of what Chris is going through and what you're going through as a family, but to be willing to share it and to turn it into a positive for others is, you know, kind of what that family's all been about, Lou.
And I understand that's not for everyone in terms of the sharing piece, but for me, it's just almost a daily reminder from Kelsey in particular of that's real life. You know, what we see in a lot of cases in social media forms, you know, most of the time we all want to share the good stuff.
Yeah, it's exaggerated for sure.
And can be very exaggerated. And, you know, it has an effect on, you know, all humans in a lot of different ways, depending on how you deal with it. But to go through what they're going through and have gone through for 3 years and every day to try to make a difference for someone else outside of themselves, that's, to me, that's the definition of what humanity really is.
Great way to start the hit, and congratulations to all the award winners. Any notes on Makar, Lou? It might be his first of many before his career is over.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't have been the least bit disappointed. I don't want to take anything away from Kale, but I could have certainly made a great case for Roman Josi and what he did, you know, as the best player on his team. That's not to say that Kale, you know, isn't in that same category with the Avalanche, but, you know, even in his speech, that was him. Humble, remembers where he comes from, you know, gives credit to all the right places, absolutely no arrogance whatsoever. It kind of makes you proud. It really does. And again, we've kind of talked on this hit about how to lead the way. You know, Kale Makar is a pretty good example of how elite people can lead the way.
And I love how he ended it, saying we've got some big work to do tonight. We'll see what Game 4 has to give us. And we'll touch on Game 4 and the Stanley Cup Final in a second, Lou. But as we're talking about maybe some other topics, maybe spin this one off of you. Your reaction to Andrew Burnett out, Paul Maurice in, with the Florida Panthers?
Well, I'm mixed. I knew that there would be a spot, you know, after Paul stepped away earlier in the season in Winnipeg after a long and pretty successful run and has had a terrific coaching career. Obviously, he needed some time to, you know, reassess and needed a change, but I do feel for Burnett. I really do. Understand it. They have an excellent, excellent team, and you know they feel like they're ready to win. So, you know, I think Andrew, and in my opinion, probably could have been given another opportunity based on the situation and what he was able to do. But, you know, I don't know Andrew personally. I've had a lot of great talks about him, especially in the days that I did a lot of work with Ray Ferraro, who could not speak more glowingly of that individual. And my guess is, you know, it's going to be really painful and really disappointing, but the organization appears to have a spot for him if he wants it. And he has so many great coaching years left in him. You know, we'll see if he, you know, takes the role in Florida, continues to grow his game by learning and working with someone who he's, I don't think there's any doubt, he's going to love working with Paul Maurice. I don't know anybody on the coaching side or television or media side that hasn't, who has crossed paths with him over the years. So yeah, I'm mixed. I can understand it, but a little disappointed for Andrew at the same time.
Yeah, and you wonder now. I mean, there's obviously a handful of open spots left. Detroit, Winnipeg, Boston, Chicago. I think we're all waiting Barry Trotz's word and maybe potentially tied, it sounds like, to those first two teams is Trotz in both Detroit and Winnipeg. Boy, what a fit he'd be in Detroit, by the way, on a quick side note. But Barry Trotz looking at maybe potentially landing in one of those two spots. Of course, Brunette, a former player with the Blackhawks and Boston. I think there's still some question as to what direction they're going, but you wonder if maybe there's a fit with those four teams with Brunette, Lou.
Yeah, well, I think there certainly could be and maybe should be.
Yeah.
So the carousel, you know, which has been incredibly busy, as you guys talk about every single day at length, has been, you know, it's been hard to keep up with. That's one of those, you know, rides at Callaway Park that never stops spinning, and you don't get off very easy. So lots of good landing places, lots of news to come, and there have been rumors out there about two members of the Calgary Flames coaching staff.
Yes, there have been. There was one there was a false alarm earlier this week. Some people listening may have caught it, but it sounded like maybe one of the Flames assistant coaches was going to land a job in Chicago. That report proved to be false and has since been retracted, but we'll see if maybe there is a spot for a Flames assistant coach on the four benches. And I do believe the guy in question will be a head coach at some point, Lou. Just might not be right now. So we'll see in terms of...
And I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Kirk Muller will get another chance either.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who knows? It might, you know, for either one of those guys, that opportunity, depending on, you know, where Daryl wants to go, could come following this season.
For sure. For sure. And for those listeners maybe wondering what we're talking about, there was a report that Ryan Huska had landed a job that has since been proved to be untrue, and we'll keep an eye. I think that at some point Ryan Huska will be a head coach, just might not be right now. Okay, Logan, let's shift gears to the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, I guess just any expectations for what we might see tonight, Lou? Sounds as though Tampa Bay is going to have Kucherov and Paul in. That's good news. Kadri's trending towards a return. We don't have, you know, of course, any exact details on that, and it sounds like it'll be Darcy Kemper back in goal for the Avalanche after being pulled in Game 3.
It's a must and a necessary question, Logan, but the reason I always chuckle is because it's a question that, you know, we can all say that we know, and certainly we get a chance to share what we think and feel. It's a big part of sports radio, but it always makes me chuckle when anybody asks me whether it's going into a game of any kind. Well, what do you expect? Well, I don't know what to expect. I, you know, most of the time what I am very comfortable commenting on is the situation and probably what it's going to require for the two teams to be successful. Never seen the script flip quite the way it did in this series from games 2 to 3, but I have to start again in one place. It's Vasilevskiy. And I think he probably faces between 30 and 45. I'm going to guess he's going to be potentially tested every bit as much as he has been in every other game. And if he's at the top of his game, this series might very well head back 5-2. If it's just a good night for him, Colorado probably has an opportunity to be up. But I just, the one way I would cap it off, Logan, is this. Every time you think that Tampa might be, you know, falling off a cliff, they seem to find a life raft. So it's hard at least not to potentially expect another good effort from them. But this to me is the biggest night of the series. By a mile. By a mile at this point.
What would Nazem Kadri coming back do for Colorado?
You know what? I know that there's a lot of signs. You know, I watched some video of him skating and handling the puck. I certainly have spent some time listening to people who, you know, who I respect and who are on the ground in Tampa, he doesn't look ready to me. Doesn't look ready, and forget about what I think, to the people that I think highly of who are in Tampa and following this series. I think game five is a better bet, but you know, if they give him any kind of opportunity, he's going to give it a go. It's, I don't know how you come back quite that quickly from a broken thumb, but we'll see.
Especially in your top hand.
Oof.
Sometimes you can get away with it if it's in different spots, but top hand on your stick, that's a tough injury. And
well, it makes everything hard, right? Face-offs, shooting, passing, you know, everything just becomes that much more difficult and probably painful for the guy.
Yeah. So we'll see if he plays. But
good drugs can help for a while.
That's true.
Good point.
Yeah, and you can get them every intermission. So we'll see if Kadri does play. But as of now, it just remains an option. No confirmation one way or the other. I think we'll have to wait until pregame skate for Nazem Kadri's status. If he doesn't play tonight, obviously keep your eye on game five on Friday. And certainly the captain, obvious, Lou, but certainly feels like a must win for a team like Tampa.
Well, it yes. I mean, there's really not a whole lot to add, and that's why I just think this night is so, so critical. And needless to say, when you're trailing, it's always even more critical. And, you know, the Avs have absolutely been a juggernaut the entire playoff. They've finally lost a road game. They have certainly more than handled their business very well in their own building. So they're a terrific team. Said it before game three, we'll repeat it, and that is beating Colorado 4 out of 5 seems like it's a very tall order. And if it was any other team besides the one they're playing, I wouldn't give it much thought, but I just can't count this group out.
Yeah, it certainly would be a rather massive task for Tampa Bay, given how electric that atmosphere was in Denver in games 1 and 2, to head in there knowing the Cup will be in the building for game 5. That just seems like a scenario you'd like to avoid if possible, if you're John Cooper and company. I wanted to ask you, Lou, about Nathan MacKinnon in this series. A few people pointing out, you know, maybe a lack of production from MacKinnon so far. He's got just 2 assists. So far in 3 games, what have you made of MacKinnon so far in this series? Do the Avs need a little bit more from him? First time in a Stanley Cup final for a guy. He's been having an incredible playoff. I think back to that goal against St. Louis, the end-to-end rush, and just sort of the talent he has. What have your impressions been of 29?
I love watching him play. And I think even when he's not producing, he is such an incredible threat and poses such a huge problem for the opposition that I won't ever judge him on production alone. He's so critical to their power play. They basically leave him on the drop pass to beat everybody. You know, if Red Grange back in the very, very old days was football's galloping ghost, this guy was easily hockey's that way. Just his power, his speed. He's a brilliant player. And, you know, that's the other thing about this series. How much longer does it go before he has, you know, one of those signature nights, not only filled with chances, but filled with results? I'm going to guess we're not far away from seeing one of those either.
Away from the Cup Final, a couple other quick things to wrap things up with Peter Labardius, who joins us every day to begin this program. Lou, you said it before the tournament started, and apparently the Western Hockey League is cursed because the Oil Kings blow a 3-2 lead. Shawinigan scores 2 in the 3rd to beat the Oil Kings 4-3. Edmonton gets another shot tonight. They'll play the host, St. John, at 4 o'clock.
Well, every time I called the Memorial Cup, and I called 8 of them,
my hope, and it made everybody mad, was for a tiebreaker.
Give that extra game, baby.
They've changed the rules now.
Yeah,
the
new
format,
point system.
So
yeah.
Tiebreaker is, you know, the crew back in my day would have been a lot happier back then. But I always hope for a tournament after the first couple, you know, of games for each team where everybody was 1-1. And I just have a sneaking suspicion that, you know, you might see that. There doesn't look, and it's hard to tell on television, there does not look like there's a lot potentially separating. But I do know this. The Edmonton Oil Kings are now, unfortunately, up against it. There has been one team in this four grouping of teams at a Memorial Cup, which dates back to 1983 in Portland, that has ever started the tournament 0-2 and come back to win it. And that was when I was fortunate enough to watch play out before my own eyes, and that was the Windsor Spitfires back in 2009 in Rimouski. So it's not a great place to be. You know, St. John played incredibly well in their opener, but I will say this. This is where it really starts to dig in to see whether the host really has a great opportunity or whether they had one, you know, really good game where maybe they caught Windsor in a bit of a downturn. And I guess, guys, the comment I would make is this. The hardest thing about winning the Memorial Cup is selling yourself after winning a league title that this is even bigger. And yes, I know the stage is bigger. But you think about, you know, Windsor and their seven-game battle, or not, or Finn and their seven-game battle with Windsor. It was a dynamite series. After you win a league, it can be tough to not feel like you've climbed a significant mountain. And just about every single one of these I've ever witnessed, and I've witnessed a lot of them, seems like there's one team that's the case, and they can never get back to that level. And in the last circumstance I would point to, is I truly thought, I don't want to take anything away from Acadie Bathurst. They were deserving winners in Regina in 2018. But I had watched the Hamilton Bulldogs in a couple of games against Sault Ste. Marie in the league final. I didn't see that team in Regina. So that's kind of what makes it so interesting and special and yet difficult all in breath.
Yeah, and for a team like Edmonton, not very often this season have they had their quote-unquote backs against the wall. So
No. We'll
see how they deal with a bit of adversity as they take on St. John today in Game 3 of the six-game round robin. Edmonton will play today and then not play again until later on this week, Friday night, against Hamilton. But no doubt, this is a big one for them. And St. John winning their opener, a little bit less intense for them this evening. Final note for you, Lou, speaking of young hockey players that are trying to make their impression and make their way to the next level. It's been made official in a tournament press conference today for the first time in what feels like years. The Calgary Flames, Vancouver Canucks, Winnipeg Jets, and Edmonton Oilers will all meet in September in Penticton.
Well, it's been out there for quite some time. So I guess it got the rubber stamp. And September 11th?
September 16th. The games will start Friday, September 16th. Well, based on previous timelines, the dates have not been formally announced, but the hope is, of course, that the NHL will have their schedule back on normal times next season, which means the season would start Wednesday, October 5th. That's the hope, and that would allow them to not play hockey into late June. So if you're looking at right now, yeah, you're probably the September 11th is a Sunday, so maybe you're looking at the 9th, which is the Friday, or the 16th. It'd be one of those 2 weeks in the first couple of weeks of September.
Well, I'm all for it. I've enjoyed the living daylights out of it and the number of times I've been fortunate enough to be there and broadcast it, or even in a couple of cases just went there on my own dime to watch. It's a great opportunity to watch all the teams and their prospect pool and enjoy it greatly. And I will say this, there's a lot worse places in Canada to have to spend about 4 or 5 days than Penticton, British Columbia.
Yeah, it's pretty dynamite. And that facility does not disappoint. It's outstanding.
None of it really disappoints.
No. And pretty cool opportunity for, of course, those four organizations to have their young stars going head-to-head. And nice to see it back after certainly
a
handful of years of an absence because of the pandemic and all things going on across the NHL. Great stuff, Lou. How's Vancouver?
Vancouver's good. Vancouver's good. It's supposed to get hot here tomorrow or Friday. The weather's been okay. Of course, there's been some rain, but not enough at least to disturb any of the ball games. So I'm having an awesome time. Just an awesome time.
Were the Vancouver Canadians in town by chance? Or
have you... You know what, pal? When you're calling three softball
you have no time.
Games a day, as much as I've still never been to a game at Nat Bailey, which is hard to believe, but I have not. And it's not exactly right around the corner.
No.
This is a big place, as you well know. It's not across the street.
Yeah, you can't just go there for a couple innings and then leave. So, yeah, that's unfortunate.
No, you can't. And there's a bit of a traffic issue here as well.
Well, we'll let you go, Lou. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. You guys have a great one.
There
bye-bye.
Peter Lombardius joining us every single day for our friends at the Gemini Group. Home renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. Now offering air miles, reward miles. Check them out online at GeminiGroup.ca. We'll take a break when we come back. Some more reaction to some of those NHL news and notes. It's been a busy couple of days across the National Hockey League. Reaction to the NHL awards. Some Flames offseason topics as well as we roll on. It's a game day in the Stanley Cup Final, and we're live on the Big Show from the Sportsnet 960 Downtown Studio on your home of the NHL and the Stanley Cup Final. Sportsnet 960, the Fan. Welcome back to the program. Hour one rolls on live inside the Sportsnet 960 Downtown Studio. Will Nault, Logan Gordon along with you. The Blue Jays in action this afternoon against the Chicago White Sox. That game is live right now on Sportsnet West in the top of the second inning. Blue Jays leading 1-0 over the White Sox. And if you were watching the Blue Jay game last night, you may have noticed that there was another strong case made logo for robot umpires, because the man who was behind the plate last night, as Louis Domingue would say,
not the best,
not even close to the best.
You had the stat up there. Of course, there's a follow on Twitter that I don't know if they go by game.
I should have found it for this, but yeah, the number was like 64%. Accuracy on strike calls last night. Oof. I think the league average that they had is 88%. So you think, you know, day-to-day umpiring is brutal? If you're in that camp, then last night wasn't a good showing. And it's one of those things, like, I always tend to think if, you know, one team feels they're getting the short end of the stick, Will, maybe, you know, maybe it's more of a problem that they're having with the umpire. But, I mean, last night both teams had major issues with that strike zone. It wasn't watchable. It was as bad of a performance behind the play that I've seen in a very long time. And, you know, credit to Dan Schulman and Pat Tavler on the call last night, because, you know, it felt like every third or fourth pitch you could have said, I don't know about that one. But, you know, it's hard to rail on the umpires for the entire game, and it's hard for both sides to adjust to a strike zone that's that fluctuating. And Pete Walker got the eject. I think it was the 11th that Pete got tossed last night after having his say about the strike zone. And then Blue Jays hitting coach Guillermo Martinez out to swap lineup cards with the White Sox today. Of course, all the umpires around home plate, and he made sure to express his opinion on that umpire's work last night. And good for him. I mean, I wasn't very impressed either.
Yeah, he was Guillermo Martinez, Blue Jay hitting coach, tossed before first pitch today, ejected in the pregame after letting the umpire hear it while swapping lineup cards prior to first pitch. The second inning has come to an end. Bit of a collision in the White Sox outfield, but hang on to the ball and get that final out. So the White Sox will head to the bottom of the second inning, trailing the Blue Jays 1-0 in that series finale today from the south side in Chicago. We'll keep you up to date as to how that game looks and how things progress throughout the afternoon. Again, you can watch it live on Sportsnet Now and on Sportsnet West. I mentioned some NFL or NHL. Sorry, there's some NFL news. We'll get to that in hour two. But NHL offseason topics for today. We mentioned it with Lou quickly, got his reaction to it. And I think a lot of people probably feel the same way. And it's hard not to look at what's happened in Florida and feel bad about or for Andrew Burnett, as Andrew Burnett out as head coach of the Florida Panthers. Of course, he had the interim tag on his job title this season after Joel Quenneville stepped down from head coaching job in Florida. He takes over about seven games in. Florida, of course, winning the President's Trophy. Burnett was a finalist for the Jack Adams, but now he will not be the head coach next season, as Paul Maurice has been hired as the Florida Panthers head coach. What was your reaction to that news today from South Florida?
It was a bit of a surprise, just because we hadn't heard a lot about Paul Maurice, given all of the job openings, but clearly he was somebody that I think Florida and maybe a few other teams that went with veteran coaches would have probably considered. And I think a lot of the reason, Will, that I didn't think much of Paul Maurice when it came to these candidacies was because I just didn't know if enough time had passed for Paul. You know, to step away from the Jets, I think, was a massive decision for him and not one that he took lightly. I thought it was incredibly admirable for him to have that sort of self-realization that he wasn't getting the performance out of the group anymore that he felt he needed. And he made the decision that Kevin Cheveldayoff wouldn't make, and that was to go in a different direction at head coach. So I didn't know really if he felt he'd been away from the game long enough. Had he recharged his batteries enough? I mean, this is a guy, Will, that's been, what, a head coach in the NHL since the mid-90s with the Hartford Whalers?
Since he was in his late 20s.
Yeah, so for a guy to take a full year off wouldn't have surprised me. I always thought he'd be back in coaching. He's only 55. But for a guy that's been coaching as long as he has, maybe he needed time to recharge the batteries, and it appears that he has. I do kind of feel for Andrew Burnett in all of this. I think it's an incredibly tough... It's so tough for the situation that he was in, because while he did do a great job with that team, and I think he deserved credit for that, he was never the guy. He was never Bill Zito's guy for this. And for, you know, whatever reason, maybe it was how they performed in the postseason, specifically in that Tampa Bay series, that put in a little doubt that he was the guy to get him over that hump or not. Whether it was just, you know, a plain realization that he felt he had better options out there than Andrew Burnett. I won't look at this and say that it's a slight to Andrew Burnett. I think that's a guy that's going to get another coaching opportunity very soon, if not before this coaching cycle is done right now, Will. I just think it was an unfavorable position for him to be put in with the whole Florida thing, right? And to be called into that and have great results, but again, you were never the guy there, and that's hard to live with on both ends.
And
right?
It was already a great team, so you wonder how good of a coaching job was it? How different was it from, you know, in terms of systems and different things to what Quenneville had in there? So, yeah, a lot of questions. And certainly you do feel bad for Andrew Burnett, a guy who has been an assistant and associate coach for, you know, the last half decade plus in the NHL, and has been obviously on Quenneville's staff for quite a while. So learn from one of the best. And now you wonder if he does get another shot. You mentioned the potential for him to get a job before the end of this coaching cycle. Well, there's four teams now on the list: Detroit, Winnipeg, Boston, and Chicago, all still searching for a head coach. And you wonder if Brunette's a fit in any of those spots. Of course, the big elephant or X factor is Barry Trotz. I mean, once his decision is made, you probably take one of those teams off that list, most likely a Winnipeg or a Detroit, and maybe only three potential spots for Brunette. Obviously, ties to the Chicago franchise. Boston feels like it could be a good fit, but we don't know the direction they're taking personnel-wise and what that team looks like next year. They've got a meeting in early July with David Pastrnak. What's his future look like? And no decision on whether or not their captain, Patrice Bergeron, is going to play hockey next season. So until those two things are solved, where are you going to go with the head coach? Are you going to go young with a younger group that's kind of rebuilding? Or are you going to try and run it back and maybe Brunette in that spot makes a little more sense? So we'll see how the rest of the coaching cycle plays itself out. But there is a couple of fits for Brunette, and you can understand why maybe there is some thought that he could get another job here before the end of this cycle.
Yeah, and I think even if he's not a head coach, I think he's going to be an assistant somewhere. I don't think, you know, based on everything that I've heard and based on how last year went, it seems unlikely to me he'll be back with Florida despite having that contract for another year of assistant coaching. That's, it just seems like one of those situations probably best for both sides to move on. Is he a head coaching fit? I'm not 100% sure. I think a team like Chicago makes a lot of sense with the ties that he has there. And I kind of look at Andrew Brunette as a kind of guy, Will, that's going to be a good teacher, a guy that, you know, was a solid, reliable NHLer and can have a positive influence on a young team. And maybe that's a better spot for him to walk into. It would involve a mindset change for him going from Florida and dealing with a very veteran team that probably doesn't need a lot of the X's and O's and, you know, detail stuff to their game. But if you go to Chicago, yeah, there's a couple of guys like that. You're probably not coaching up Taves and Kane or whoever else, or Seth Jones on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, Kirby Doc, you know, guys like that, they've got plenty of young guys in Chicago that they're looking to build up over the next couple of years. And I think that's a nice spot to land in because it's a long-term process there in Chicago, right? You're not a Winnipeg or maybe even a Boston where you're looking for results sooner than later. And I think that could be a soft landing spot for him. We'll see. I think so much is still to be decided because I think Detroit's kind of a wild card in all of this. And, I mean, you've mentioned the biggest needle that hasn't dropped in all of this, and that's, you know, Barry Trotz.
Biggest needle or domino?
Domino. Could be a big needle.
If that's a big needle, you better watch out because that could be sharp. That could hurt. But, yeah, we'll see. Ultimately, we probably won't get any answers on those four teams until Barry Trotz makes a decision, although it feels like Boston and Chicago could move away from it because Barry Trotz doesn't appear to be even on the short list for those two franchises. Away from that, Alexander Radulov informing the Dallas Stars today that he intends to head back to Russia and continue his playing career in the KHL, which, 35 years old, likely ends his NHL playing career. Of course, he had two separate stints. He was started in Nashville, went to the KHL for a couple of years, and then came back. He spent the last five seasons in Dallas after a year in Montreal during the second NHL stint. He'll finish his NHL career likely with 524 games, 144 goals, and 368 points, originally a first-round pick of the Preds back in 2004. And you look at Radulov's career, Logan. Yeah, the last couple of seasons, you can understand why maybe he's going back to Russia. I don't know if it was a playing time issue. Maybe he didn't get along with Rick Bonus as well. Battled some, you know, injuries in the shortened 2020-21 season. Of course, didn't play many games, playing just 11 games, but had 12 points in those 11 games. And this season had just four goals in 71 games. But his first 2 years in Dallas were a lot of fun. His second stint overall in the NHL obviously started out with Montreal, had that pretty good season with 18 goals and 54 points. They go to the playoffs. And then you look at the last five seasons in Dallas. The first 2 years were dynamite, 72 points each of those two seasons, including right on the edge of 30 goals both years, the 29 and 27. And then the last 3 years, it's just been slowly dropping in production, but had a pretty good playoff run when the Stars went to the Cup final in the bubble in 2020. And again, a guy that always had a ton of potential, never really worked his first stint in the NHL with Nashville. If you remember, he kind of came back three times, right? Because had that one first stint where he played the first couple of the seasons of his career, then went to the KHL for four. And at the end of that fourth season, came to Nashville, played in the playoffs, and then what was that incident in Arizona where he missed the morning skate or was late for curfew? I can't remember exactly what the issue was, but was suspended or didn't, you know, wasn't played. It was a healthy scratch for Nashville against Arizona, and then went back to Moscow for four seasons, and of course the last six now in the NHL. But he'll be back in the KHL for the next couple of seasons and likely to end his playing days. Not massive news, but you can cross a UFA off the list.
An interesting career to look back on for Alex Radulov. Three teams over his NHL career at, you know, varying points was very successful. You know, a couple of 70-point seasons to start with Dallas, where he was a pretty dynamic playmaker for them. I remember that year in Montreal was pretty successful, just under 20 goals. And, yeah, it was interesting because he was always sort of an enigma that, you know, kept popping back up. And what was the future of Alexander Radulov? You know, when he comes back, is he the sort of game changer that, you know, could come into a team's lineup off of the KHL and actually give them a boost? And for a little while, he did that. Even that, you mentioned that time where he came back and played the handful of games in the regular season and then the postseason, he was dynamic for Nashville. And they've tried that road before. They've gone down that path before, and sometimes these aren't always successful ventures to wait on Russian players or to have to entice them to come over to the NHL, but Radulov was one of the success stories when you look at it. There will always be the what-ifs. He, you know, what if he stayed in the NHL and continued to hone his craft? Would he have been a more successful player? Could he reach some of the heights that he reached in the KHL? Because I believe 1 year with Moscow, he had like a massive, I think he was with, not with Moscow, but, you know, he was an 80, 90-point guy a few times. Could he have reached those heights in the NHL if he was more consistent and didn't do the back-and-forth thing? Yeah, maybe. But I'll always think of Radulov as being a sneaky good goal scorer. It definitely tapered off the last couple of years, but some good memories over the NHL. And, you know, for a guy to go back home is probably always enticing and nice for them when you have that option, right?
Of course, we won't necessarily get any answers to these questions until the end of the Stanley Cup final, but we're getting closer to what I call the fun period of the NHL offseason, and that's trade targets. We'll talk a lot about that as the show continues, but Frank Saravelli puts together his list over at Daily Faceoff, and there's a new face on that trade target board. We'll talk about that as the show continues. He's Logan. My name is Will. We're live today in the Sportsnet 960 downtown studio. We've said this a couple of times this week, but want to remind you to be listening next week with full details likely ready to be unveiled as the Sportsnet 960 crew is getting together and getting set to host their first ever slow pitch tournament. So you got some buddies that you'd like to get out and play a one-day tournament with. Maybe you just finished off your spring league and you're looking for another chance to get out. We're going to have a pretty cool opportunity for you to get involved in our one-day slow pitch tournament coming up August 13th at Optimist. Again, details and registration coming up next week, likely on this very station. So be listening then to find out how you and your buddies and maybe your family members can get involved. He's Logan. I'm Will. Azam is our producer. That'll do it for hour number one. Don't forget, you can find The Big Show wherever you get your podcast: Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe now. Never miss a moment or a guest. Back down to South Florida and the site of Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. We kick off hour number two. Big Show continues on this Wednesday. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.